Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 47 of Coach Bennett's Podcast. And this is going to be a fun one. Not just a fun one, but this is going to be a moving one. Why? Because I'm going to take you through a 30-minute easy run. In fact, you should have already started moving. Yeah, that's right. This is going to be a 30-minute easy run, but it's not just going to be any 30-minute easy run / recovery run. This one is going to be all about why I say what I say when you run with me, whether it's on a guided run or whether it's an in-person event or whether you were an athlete of mine in the past. Why am I saying what I'm saying? For instance, when we start an easy run and I say, chill out, take it easy, take it so easy that you're actually mad at me for making you run this easy. Like, why do I say that? Well, I say that because I want the beginning of the run to be pressure-free. I want the beginning of the run to be something that if you're anticipating anything, it's anticipating the least amount of stress maybe in your day. Because I'll tell you what, moving is not a really stressful in a negative way thing. At least it shouldn't be, unless you're trying to do something really hard, really fast without being warmed up. And there's the key. I want you to be warmed up. So that's how this whole episode's going to be. If you are moving, whether you're walking, hiking, running, maybe you're just on a train, you're in your car, you're in traffic, and you're moving a little bit, what I want you to do is really just kind of just go with me here. Go with me in any way that you're going, because over the course of these 30 minutes, I'm going to be going deep on why I coach the way I do, why you hear me say certain things and repeat other things over the course of a recovery run. Now, like I mentioned, I usually tell people at the very beginning of a recovery run, an easy run, and I'm going to be using those two terms interchangeably. As far as I'm concerned, they mean the same thing. When I tell someone at the beginning, listen, I want this to be the easiest part of the run, or slowest, either one is fine. I don't really like using the term slow very often, and I'll tell you why, because it usually has a negative connotation for some people. When you tell someone to run slow, a lot of times they're going to assume what I'm telling them is, I don't think you can run fast, which is not true. In fact, it's the opposite. If I tell you to run slow, it means I know you can run fast, because I'm telling you not to do that. And you don't tell someone not to do something they can't do. I don't say, don't fly, even though technically I guess you can fly. I mean, if you think about it, that is, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest difference between walking and running. It's flight. Walking, there's always one foot on the ground. Running, in between those feet landing, yeah, that's what you're doing. You are flying. So actually, if I told you don't fly, that would mean I do think you can fly. So that was a terrible example, isn't it? Terrible example. But I think you get what I'm saying. You don't tell someone not to do something they can't do. So if I tell you don't run fast, which another way of saying that is please run slow, I'm saying you can run fast. I know you can run fast. In fact, one of the things that I'm trying to do at the beginning of the run is get you to not make the number one mistake most runners make when they go for a run, and that's run too hard. Now, I also want to take the pressure off of you, because a lot of times the runner also happens to be the worst possible coach and worst possible teammate for that runner. So I will often direct the blame or the animosity for making you run so easy at the beginning of the run on me. Blame me. Because a lot of people will not run easy when they're told to run easy unless they have the excuse to blame someone for making them run so easy, even though running so easy is actually running so smart at the beginning of a run. So I will often say, go ahead, blame me. And people are more likely to actually do the right thing when they can blame someone for doing the right thing. Isn't that so weird? Well, not really. I mean, if you've been around people enough, a lot of times you know what they're really looking for is an excuse to do the right thing. And the excuse at the beginning of the run can often be, well, coach made me run so easy. Now, this is the other reason why I want you to run so easy. And it's the fact that I want you to look forward to the beginning of the run. Because the beginning of the run can be rife with anxiety and stress and sometimes fear because we're not sure we can do this, or we've convinced ourselves that we don't want to do it, or we're feeling tired and the metrics of success that we have rolling through our head are metrics that maybe we shouldn't be leading the conversation with. You know, things like, I have to run this far, this fast, for this long. And it's like, let's just focus on the beginning of the run as really it's like own run. We can get to the middle of the run and run that run when we get to it. And we can get to the end of the run when we get to the end of the run, which means we have to get through the beginning of the run and the middle of the run. And when we get to the end of the run, we can concern ourselves with that. But instead of looking at this 30-minute run as 30 minutes of running, let's just look at the first 5, 7, 10 minutes. And we can even break that down further by saying, let's just look at this minute we're in right now. What is the goal? And the beginning of the run, that first minute, is just to take some strides. And you're going to look almost like a giraffe that was just born. You know, you're going to be all kind of clumsy. And because if you think about it, most of us have been sitting during the day, or we've been standing all day long. Both of those things are not really conducive to starting a run and looking unbelievably graceful. So if we give ourselves a couple of minutes to kind of, for lack of a better term, stumble into the run, the pressure's off. And we're not focused on the pace. Because this is the other thing. When we get to the pace, and I'm not saying I don't pay attention to numbers. I absolutely pay attention to numbers. I just understand the context of the story. I just understand the context around those numbers. And I understand what they mean and what they mean at different parts of the run. And at the beginning of the run, the numbers are meaningless. They're meaningless in terms of a metric that's going to decide whether this is a good run or not. And most people will associate the faster the run with the better the run, which is not the best way of looking at a run. The faster the run on an easy run does not equate to a better easy run. It doesn't. It could mean that you ran too fast. You turned it into a tempo run, and now that's just a stupid easy run. That's a bad easy run. There is a purpose to an easy run, and it's to have an easier run than a hard effort. It's to recover in many ways. And yes, I understand that you are putting out a certain amount of energy. You are doing some work. So there are going to be some people out there that are going to say, I have my hand up in the back and a recovery run isn't truly a recovery run because you're not truly recovering because you are putting in work. Oh, put your hand down enough. We know the difference between a recovery run and rest, okay? And I think we can all agree that a recovery run is an easier run. And I'll tell you what else. A recovery run is about way more than just physical recovery. If you've done runs with me, you know that I'll define recovery as an opportunity to take back something that has been taken from you or stolen from you over the course of the day. So it could be peace of mind, it could be relaxation, it could be clarity, it could be a little bit of joy. These are the types of things that you can recover on a recovery run. And while you're doing that, yes, you're putting in an effort, should be an easier effort on the run, but you're finishing it feeling refreshed, renewed, okay? And it's also in there from a coaching point of view, strictly physically, as a way to get some movement, build some endurance, callus the body to some minutes and meters after a harder effort or an anticipation of a hard effort that's coming up. So there's a lot of things that can be accomplished on a recovery run. You just have to understand what the purpose is. And starting a recovery run the right way is really important. Because if you start a recovery run too hard, you're kind of in debt now at the start of the run, which means at some point you're going to have to pay that debt back, which means you're going to have to really slow down or stop or walk, which there's nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't need to do that on an easy run. You shouldn't be putting yourself in a position on an easy run where you need to stop and walk. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it should be incredibly rare. If you're going out for a 30-minute easy run, you should feel comfortable running that duration or distance. Maybe it's a 5K easy run, but you should feel very, very comfortable running whatever the distance or duration is on an easy run. It should never be a stretch to get to that distance or duration. And the pace, we're going to go with the average pace over the entire course of the run, should be a pace that you feel comfortable doing. Now, here's the catch. Over the course of the run, if you're starting out at your slowest, that means that over the course of this recovery run, you're probably picking things up because the beginning of the run, remember, should be the slowest running of the run. So over the course of the run, as you get into it, as you warm up, naturally warm up from just running, the pace should also naturally pick up. Now, when I say this, you'll hear me stress the fact that I say the beginning of the run should be the slowest part of the run, and the end of the run should be the fastest part of the run. But I didn't say the beginning of the run is slow, because you're not running slow at the beginning of the run. You're running really easy, but you could go slower. And at the end of the run, it's the fastest part of the run. That doesn't have to mean it's fast, comparatively speaking. It's not like you're doing an interval at a 9 out of 10 effort. It's not like you're even doing a tempo run. You're just running faster than you have been because naturally you've progressed from the easiest and slowest part of the running to still easy but faster running at the end. So I'm always looking at an easy run as a progression run. You're going to progress through the run from your slowest and easiest to your fastest and still easy running, okay? Fastest in the context of this run, not the fastest you can do. We're not going to run the fastest we can on an easy run. We're going to run the fastest we should. And there is a huge gap in pace there. So it's something to remember. The other thing I want to mention just about the overall pace before we get into a little bit deeper of the run is the pace, if you've been running for a while, you should get a handle of what the average pace would be on an easy run. And I'm going to say here the average pace on an average easy run, because sometimes the terrain is different. It could be pancake flat one day. It could be undulating on some wicked trails another day. You can't really compare the pace on those 2 days. You can't do it. I mean, you've got uphills and you've got downhills and you've got gnarly trails and roots and all this stuff. Like, you're not going to be running as fast on that day as you are in a pancake flat road loop that's well lit. You know, like, it's just, they're not the same. So there's a gray area, even on the same type of terrain. So one day to another, let's say on that pancake flat road loop that you normally run on, the pace on an easy run is, for the most part, week to week, it's going to be around the same. Now, if you're progressing through a buildup in, you know, towards a race or something, actually your recovery runs should be getting a little bit quicker every couple of weeks because you're building up endurance, you're building up strength, you're doing speed workouts. That's all making you an efficient runner, a better runner, and you're learning how to actually recover now at faster and faster paces. So you'll see over the course of weeks and months, the recovery runs probably increase in volume, meaning duration and distance, but also the average pace on an average recovery run is probably coming down as well. It means you're learning how to recover at faster and faster paces because you're becoming better and better at this sport. Now, there's a gray area on each side. So I'm just going to throw a number out there. If your average pace per K on a recovery run is 5 minutes, okay, what that also means is you're probably starting your recovery runs early on, maybe at like 5:30 pace, we'll say. We're talking about early into the run. And maybe the last Ks are closer to 4:30. And what happens is, by the end of the run, you've averaged 5 minutes. That's what we're looking at. Now, what I want to mention about this gray area is, on days where you're just tired, for any host of reasons, you can pick the reason. You have an infinite variety of reasons of why you may be tired. Maybe you're running 5:15 Ks by the end of it. Your average is 5:15, 5:20, 5:30 Ks. You're tired. Okay? Now, if you need to run 6:30 Ks to maintain the effort that you need on a recovery run, that's a red flag. That means you're really tired, exhausted. You shouldn't be that far off. So that's where you look back at your training log and you think, wow, I've really been stressed at work or at school, or I've gotten a couple of bad nights of sleep, or maybe I'm overtraining. There's a whole host of things. But so anything outside of that kind of gray zone, and it goes the opposite direction too, where you could be going faster. Like, yes, maybe things are clicking and you're just running really, really well. And you feel good, and maybe you're with a friend or something like that, who knows, or it's the first nice day in a while, or you just have a little jump in fitness, and suddenly what you realize at the end of it, you averaged, 450 per K. So everything was a little bit quicker. But if you're averaging 4 minutes per K, that's too fast. That's too much. Like, something's up. Either the only thing I can think of where that would be excused is if you were severely undertraining yourself, but that just seems odd. So anything too fast outside of that gray zone is, in fact, too fast. So these are some of the things that are swirling around as I'm trying to guide somebody through a recovery run. Start out nice and easy. Take the pressure off the athlete. Put the pressure on the coach. And once you get to a point where you can actually be your own best coach, then you can just blame yourself, which is okay too, and say, hey, I'm running this way because it's the right way. And if I feel like it's too slow, or I think people around me are going to think it's too slow, too bad, it's the right thing to do. And sometimes the right thing to do isn't that easy to do, but it's still the right thing to do. So as you progress, remember, it's a progression run, and you get into the middle of the run, you've warmed up and naturally you're kind of hitting a groove. And in some ways, the middle of the run is really the middle of the zone, which is basically what you're probably going to average over the course of the run in terms of pace. And this is where people do feel like they hit a groove. For me, it's usually somewhere around 10 or 15 minutes into a run, I feel like my body is like legit taking me seriously. Like, oh, we are in fact going for a run. Like, my breathing seems to be a little bit better. I'm not kind of fighting to take breaths anymore. My body feels more fluid. Like, I'm running, And the middle is really a great place to kind of check in with yourself and say, okay, let's just do a couple systems checks. And now I have you do systems checks on runs for a whole bunch of different reasons. One, a lot of people think I'm doing it because I want to make sure if you're running the wrong way, and by the wrong way, I mean just, your form's breaking down, you're letting your breathing get out of control. This is an opportunity for me to get you to fix those things. 100% yes, that is one of the reasons why I'm doing it. We can allow these things to kind of happen over minutes and not realize they're happening until suddenly it's happened, like the form just starts to fall apart. We wonder, like, why is the pace such an issue today? And then you realize, well, I'm hunched over. I'm not driving my arms at all. I'm looking down at the ground. Like, I'm literally slowing myself down. Or my back is arched and my chin is up and I'm landing excessively on my heels. I'm basically pumping the brakes with every time I land a foot. Like, these are things that can happen. And we're just artificially slowing ourselves down. It has nothing to do with fitness. It's not physical. We're just our form's breaking down. And when your form breaks down, your pace breaks down. Your strength breaks down. You at your best is no longer around. It's there, but it's hidden by this form that has broken down. So I do those things to kind of make sure we can right the ship if the ship seems to be going off course. But there's another reason why I do it. The other reason why I do it is because if nothing's going wrong, it's a really great opportunity to realize nothing's going wrong. My form is pretty good. My breathing is under control. I'm running really well right now. And we oftentimes don't think about how well we're running in the midst of a run. We will definitely spend time thinking about how we run poorly on a run, but we will not take time to acknowledge or at least see, feel, understand that we're going through a period of the run where, hey, everything's working. I'm clicking on all cylinders. I'm running smooth. My breathing's under control. My form is good. Oh, yeah. So there's a couple things. I kind of know that it's an opportunity to fix something that's broken or celebrate something that's working. You know what I mean? That's why those form checks and those breathing checks and those mindset checks come in. And if you've run with me, you know those happen on pretty much every single run. And I also know during the third quarter, it's a way to get you focused again. Because the third quarter of every run, like the third quarter of every race, is where things tend to just go through the Bermuda Triangle of a run. Things get funky. We lose focus. We start to allow form to break down, just kind of almost out of boredom. A lot of times it's not even physical. It's just, I didn't even know. It just, one moment I was clicking, and then the next minute I was like, I don't know where the last 5 minutes went. Have you ever driven on a highway, on a road trip, and suddenly you're like, I don't remember anything from the last 10 minutes? Like, you were aware, but you just don't remember anything. And it can actually be kind of jarring where you're like, I don't remember the cars. But somehow your brain was on autopilot. It was paying attention, but you were not as focused and as aware of what was going on. The same thing can happen on a run. And what can occur is you can take your foot off the gas a little bit, so to speak, and really slow things down. Okay. That's fine. And sometimes if you're feeling good, you can let the pace creep up a little bit too much and you start getting out of those gray zones where suddenly you're not really matching the effort you should be, you could be. So having these kind of breaks where it's like a chance to actually refocus. It's like almost insurance of taking a break from you, taking a mental break, which then brings you back into focus. So that's why oftentimes in the middle of a run, and especially that third quarter of a run, there'll be a breathing check, a mindset check, and a form check, either to right the ship or celebrate the fact that you are on course, all right? Now that third quarter, let me also tell you this, one of the best things you can do is anticipate as a runner. Anticipate. It's the same thing of when I was coaching cross-country, the team we would always, and this was even from when I was running in high school, our coach would bring us to the meet early, and we would run the course, the entire course. I see a lot of times a team shows up, and they run the first mile of the course, or they just run randomly around, and we always wanted to know the course because we wanted to be able to anticipate certain things. For instance, we wanted to know if there were certain parts of the course that were very quiet. We knew that fans and coaches were not going to be there because that would be a great place to make a move. We wanted to know just how steep that uphill was and just how steep that downhill was. And were there areas that were very slippery? What was the footing like? We wanted to know certain landmarks. We could say, hey, when you get to this garbage can or this tree or this bathroom, it's 1K to the finish. And that means we're about 3 minutes from the finish line. So you need to be thinking about, so you need to be thinking about 1K from the finish. Okay. That's just 3 minutes. Like, these are the types of things that really help an athlete that are out there while they're racing. It's the same thing on a run. Anticipating, I'm heading into the third quarter. What am I most likely to do here? I'm most likely going to lose focus. Let's not lose focus. Or some people, like I mentioned earlier, some people, when they lose focus, they pick things up. That's just as important as knowing, as if you start to slow down when you lose focus. Because if you're consistently running too hard, you're not doing the run you're supposed to be doing consistently. So these are the types of things that you want to be able to anticipate, that this is where I lose focus. Now, if I know this is where I lose focus, I can work on maintaining focus. Just like you can anticipate the start of a run being the easiest part of the run. You can check yourself and say, this feels not that easy. Okay, great. Fantastic. Back off even more. Yes, back off even more. The middle of the run, this is where I normally hit my groove. I'm not. Something's up. I anticipated that this is where I would be hitting my groove. This is where I normally hit my groove. Something's wrong. What do I need to do? And make adjustments. So anticipation is a really great attribute to have as a runner. But the ability to anticipate comes from understanding your running, understanding the runner, learning from your runs. So you can anticipate things that often happen. Doesn't mean they're always going to happen, which means you should also anticipate the unknown, that sometimes something new is going to happen. Sometimes the race plan is not the plan that is actually going to be carried out. It is the plan that was unplanned that is going to be carried out. And those types of things happen in easy runs as well. Sometimes, you know, you get a second wind. Sometimes you feel better than normal. Sometimes you feel worse than normal. You can anticipate only so much, but you always can adjust on the run. And it's always going back to what is the basic principle of this run, the purpose of this run. It's an easy run. It's a recovery run, which brings me now to the end of the run. Okay, you've made it through the middle, you've made it through the third quarter, and now we're getting to the end of the run. Like I said at the beginning, this is the fastest part of the run. Doesn't mean it's fast. You're always going back to effort, and that's something that I've consistently talked about on all of the runs or the podcasts, or if you're with me on live coaching, go back to effort. Okay, effort is going to lead the pace. All right. If you've been running for a really long time, you can use pace kind of as a guide because there is an effort associated with it. But if you really think about it, it's the effort that should be leading the pace. Because if you want to pick things up at the end of a run because you feel good, that's great. You're leading with effort. You feel good. You're picking things up. Now you can use those metrics like the numbers to make sure you're not getting out of the gray area. All right, let's not get out of control. I know you feel good. It's a Tuesday, okay? Like, just relax. Like, I always like to look at training, your running, practice, as just a whole bunch of sentences that should end with a period. And I'll tell you what, we can focus on speedruns on a different podcast when it comes to, you know, the behind the scenes of the training that I come up with for speedruns. But same thing there, too. When you're talking about the numbers, like I did 400 meters at 5K pace, which is this, that should end with a period. Because that's based on you. It's just a period, which is awesome. These are great sentences. My point is they don't need to be exclamation points. That's not the purpose of a recovery run, is not to say, look at what I did. And this is what you can do. Be proud of that. You don't need to scream that. I mean, you can if you want to, but my point is, this is what you can do. Speedruns are based on what you can do today, setting you up for doing something down the road, whether it's a race or a challenge or something like that, where, yeah, okay, save your exclamation points for that day. And like I mentioned, save the exclamation points when you're describing the workout, how you felt, who you ran with, where you were, the sights you thought, the struggles you got through. Yeah, baby. Those you can have exclamation points all day long for those. And I'm suddenly realizing we're getting towards the end of this 30-minute easy run, so I should really start to wrap this up. But what I wanted to do today and try to condense it into 30 minutes was give you a slightly deeper dive into why I say some of the things when I'm coaching people on recovery runs, why I do some of the things when I'm coaching people on recovery runs. There is a rhyme and there's a reason to everything, even when it seems just silly and stupid what I'm talking about. Sometimes that banter is there for a reason. It may sound like it's just total nonsense, but sometimes that nonsense makes sense. Sometimes that nonsense is there to take your focus off the run. Sometimes that nonsense is there. So time just isn't focused on every second of this run. It's suddenly you going somewhere different, whether it's internally through questions and answers or listening to a story or a visualization where you can suddenly realize that you can run without the extreme focus and attention on the running. You can, in fact, do two things at once. You can actually go somewhere different in your mind while you're running in the same place on a treadmill. You can do that. And that mental gymnastics that comes with that is a really, really great trait to have as you run. Because it's too much to run an entire run. And what I mean by that is the same thing when I tell people, you don't race a marathon, you don't race a 10K. What you do is you run hard for 8K, and then maybe you race 2K of a 10K. You run hard for 20 miles of a marathon, and then the last 10K, you got to race. You got to flip a switch and be all in all the time. It's the same thing on a run. The whole time should not be spent focusing on your breathing, focusing on your form, focusing on your stride, focusing on every second that you're putting in an effort to run. You can do lots of things internally, mindfully, on this run, while you're running. So yes, it's about running, but it's also not about running. It's about so much more. And that's where some of those nonsensical conversations come in. Because I want you to be doing more than running. I want you to kind of get away with 3 or 4 minutes of just listening to, you know, some nonsense and be like, wait, did I just run for 4 minutes? It's just like being in the car where you're driving down the road. Sometimes you're like, I don't even remember that we drove the last 10 miles, but you did. And you were focused on what you were doing and you were driving just safely and all that stuff. But guess what? You got swept away by the fact that the music was rocking and you were having a good time. And you were safe and you were driving and you got 10 more miles down the road, only 30 more miles to go. And sometimes the nonsense that I'm talking just gets you a little further down the road. And you can do that yourself when I'm not there. You can go in deep into that wacky, weird, wild brain of yours with that insane imagination and you can score a few free strides is how I like to look at it. So that's just a little bit of an excuse as to why all those dad jokes that some of you call them, I think it's just great humor, but that's where a lot of them come from. So anyway, and look at the time. We're past 30 minutes. What happened there? I thought this was only going to be 30 minutes. I guess we just went a little bit further down the road. So I had a lot of fun kind of talking about this. I've gotten a lot of mail lately asking about doing deeper dives on some of the coaching philosophy, why I talk the way I do on long runs and easy runs and speed runs and why I break things down a certain way. And I thought, you know what? I'm not one of those coaches who's like secretive and thinks like, oh, you shouldn't know why I do what I do. That's nonsense. It's stupid. So I am more than happy to do that. And I thought this would be a good first one. And there's so much more that goes into an easy run and a recovery run. And we can actually do that. In fact, it might be nice to actually go through an actual one, like give you one, and as I'm giving you the information in real time, also then explain, and this is why. This is why I told you to do this at this moment. We can do that. We can break down speed runs and long runs and recovery runs and all that good stuff, because the goal here is for you to have a better run, enjoy running more, and just have a good time. And I had a good time today. So thank you for listening to the 30-minute easy run deep dive. I have no idea what I'm calling this episode, but it might be that. It probably won't be, because that's a terrible name for an episode. But hopefully you enjoyed it, and if you went on a run during it, awesome. And if you didn't, that's awesome too. Thank you for listening. And in the meantime, if you want to leave a review, a rating, if you want to subscribe, share the podcast, I would genuinely appreciate that. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself, take care of each other. I'll meet you on that next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, Well, I really wish you would because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter, as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter. Whatever that dumpster fire is called today, you'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening, and until next time, take care of yourself.